Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful day out there. And some people go, oh, yeah, right. And I'm like, I am so serious. I got up all excited thinking, maybe there'll be some snowflakes out there. Oh, 39 degrees, a few more degrees, and we'd have it. And some people said amen, and a lot of others, one said bah humbug, but... Yeah. So, Steelers don't play until late tonight, so enjoy the day. Spend some time with family and friends. And it's good to see everybody here in this place that we call sanctuary. Not only is it sanctuary from the elements outside, but it's sanctuary from our busy schedules, from the things that weigh us down, from our problems. It is sanctuary because here in this place, in this moment, nothing else matters. All that matters right here is that cross, is our relationship with God. That's all that matters right at this moment. So let's give him our very best. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for today, for all the blessings that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray that what we do here today is pleasing to you and life-changing to us. We pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us. Give us the words to speak to one another, Lord, words that lift up, that help, that exhort. Fill us with your love one for the other, especially with love for you. Come, Holy Spirit, come into this moment, into this time, into our hearts and our homes, into our church. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said,
amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, everyone. And as you're making your way back to your seats, I'd like to go over a few announcements with you. The United Methodist Women are doing the shoe boxes again. This is for Operation Christmas Child. It is a very large undertaking by many churches throughout the area, and they need donations. Back in the Northex, there is a list of what those donations are, and we ask that you look at that and see where you can be of help to this special project, Operation Christmas Child. Also, this Wednesday begins the Woman's Book Study run by Bonnie. That's at 6:30. We welcome all women to come to that. It's going to be a wonderful event as usual. Daylight savings time begins next week, so we want to make sure that you're all here next week. So remember to set your clocks back next Saturday before you go to bed. The Rada Cutlery, their orders are due today. If you haven't gotten your order in, we ask that you do that today. Also, we are going to be having new members today, and we have a little reception set up in the lounge right after the service. It would be wonderful to go back and to greet our new members, and we invite you all to come back and share in a special treat and some punch and coffee. So that's after the service today. Next Sunday is Consecration Sunday. I know you probably received in the mail from the Stewardship Committee your pledge cards. We ask that you bring those to church next Sunday or mail them so that we can pledge what we are going to offer to our church for the following year. Are there any further announcements at this time? Okay, up in the coming events, next week is also All Saints Day. If you haven't put in your donations for the booklet, we want you to do that by the end of the day today, the end of the service today. That's what it says in the bulletin. Is that all right or not? Okay. Any further announcements? Okay. Our memory verse for the month of October is at the top of your bulletin. Let us repeat it through twice. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us begin our worship. Please stand for the call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you have formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O mortal ones." You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass which is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and it is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
All our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are threescore and ten, or even by reason of strength, fourscore. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger, the awesomeness of your wrath?
So teach us to number our days, that we may receive a heart of wisdom.
Please remain standing for hymn number 117, O God, our help in ages past.
Amen.
If you're joining today, come on down. Just met with another couple this morning during Sunday school, and they'll be joining next month. We have some other folks who are joining who were in this class that couldn't be here today. Ian and Shelby, Dawn, Donna, and Alvin. Please turn in your hymnals, page 33, and follow along. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. And you have all been baptized. Through confirmation, through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And these folks are here now to join our congregation. So let me ask you. We've already gone over these questions, but for the sake of your new brothers and sisters in Christ, your new family here, let them hear your answers. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in this world? If so, answer, I will. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, the Word of God. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of the sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Page 37, number 12. Ian, Shelby, Dawn, Donna, Alvin, remember your baptism and be thankful. Next page, 38. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. As members of this congregation of Irwin First United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, answer, I will. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Usually they're better in tune than this, okay? Just Ian and Shelby, Dawn, Donna, and Alvin. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Let's welcome them. Hoo-ha! All right. Do 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 do. Do five, 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 five. There we go. Five. Yes, yes. Good, 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 good. Hey, who loves you? Jesus loves you bunches. Do you think Jesus wants you to love him? I think Jesus wants you to love him too. How do we love Jesus? So we love him where? At church. Yeah, we come to church. It's one way to show Jesus we love him. By praying is another way of showing Jesus that we love him. Because praying is just talking to him like we talk to each other. Reading the Bible, yes. Learning the Word of God, that is another way of showing Jesus that we love him. What are some other ways? I'm going to tell you what. Go ask somebody. Go ask somebody and then come back up here and tell me what they said, okay? How else can we love Jesus? What did they say? By doing the right thing. Okay, that's good. So that means like don't lie, don't steal. What did they say? Do you remember? No, that was a long walk. I would have forgot to. What did they say? Helping friends with homework? Okay, that'll work. Be a good friend. You can always love Jesus.
Taking care of other people.
Taking care of other people. Those are the answers I was looking for. Very good. Yes. Coming to church has become an option today, and it's not an option. Coming to church is not an option. Jesus wants us to be in church. Jesus went to church every day himself, and he wants us to be in church. The Word of God says that we're to be in church. And here in this place, we show our love for Jesus. And we do that by helping each other help others. So when we feed the hungry and we gather clothes and toys and household stuff and give them away, and you know, the food bank, and then we have Bible studies, and we have baskets, and we're helping other people. That's how we love Jesus. So the best way to love Jesus is by loving each other. One of the ways we're going to do that is with these flood buckets. Peggy, on my pulpit up there is a piece of paper about the flood buckets. It's on the right-hand side. Could you? Yes. Thank you. Right now we have 42 hygiene kits, 11 buckets, of which 4 are complete. They are hoping, Alan and Cindy Painter and whoever's working with them, are hoping to take them to the Mission Barn in Newcastle this week or next, probably by November 7th. And so they will accept items that are needed until they deliver them. And you can find out what items are needed out in the narthex on the board. But you know what these buckets are used for? Let me tell you. It's a cleaning kit. We used to always call them flood buckets. Now they're calling them cleaning kits. It costs $65 for everything that goes in this bucket. It's a 1 5-gallon bucket with a resealable lid. There's liquid laundry detergent in here, liquid household cleaner, dish soap, 50 clothespins, a clothesline, 7 sponges, 24 a roll of heavy-duty trash bags, 18 cleaning wipes, 1 can of air freshener, 1 can of insect repellent spray, 2 pairs of kitchen dishwashing gloves, 1 pair of work gloves, 5 scouring pads, 1 scrub brush, and 5 dust masks. These buckets are collected and sent to people whose homes have been flooded. It's just terrible floods. The water comes in and it leaves behind all kinds of mud and germs and everything, and it ruins the furniture and the walls, and so they have to scrub and clean all that up. Sometimes it's not a flood. Sometimes it's a tornado or hurricane, and it brings with it all kinds of rain and damaging high winds, and homes are hurt really bad, and they need to be repaired and cleaned up. And this helps people get started. So when we give this to people, we're helping them. When we give this to people, we are loving Jesus. So when you help each other, when you help other people, you're really loving Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Okay, so let's huddle up and have a prayer. And we're going to pray for these flood buckets, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we lift up to you all these flood buckets. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and anoint them, that they would go to those people who need them the most. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and anoint them, that as the people are using them, that you will bless the situation that they're in and bring a healing to their situation, meet all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So bless all these flood buckets and all these supplies, Lord. Bless them for your honor and glory and praise. And bless us under your service. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. Okay.
This morning's reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. So Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord said he would. The Lord buried him in a valley in Moab opposite the town of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows the exact place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died. He was as strong as ever, and his eyesight was good. The people of Israel mourned for him for 30 days in the plains of Moab. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with wisdom because Moses had appointed him to be his successor. The people of Israel obeyed Joshua and kept the commands that the Lord had given him through Moses. There has never been a prophet in Israel like Moses. The Lord spoke with him face to face. No other prophet has ever done miracles and wonders like those that the Lord sent Moses to perform against the king of Egypt and his officials and the entire country. No other prophet has been able to do great and terrifying things that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And Lord, we give with a cheerful heart. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for everything. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings, use them as you see fit for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world through the ministries of this church. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want.
seated. Joys and concerns. What joys do we have? I have a joy here. Jean and Phyllis want to thank everyone for their prayers for Jean. He's doing much better. The prayers were answered. Other joys. Your first grade teacher is going to have another baby. Okay. It's amazing to see you here, Ethel. I'm glad you're here. They have been at JJ's side so much. JJ, who was in a car wreck a couple of weeks ago, severe injuries all over, and still in Forbes, right? Okay, yeah. Good. How old is JJ? 37. Was in a car wreck, broke a bunch of ribs, collarbone, contusions, ripped his scalp off, ripped his face off. Had to all be reconstructed. Punctured a lung, bruised another lung. And his eyesight's coming back. They were afraid he was going to lose his eyesight. Only bone he didn't break in his face was his chin. Sounds pretty horrific, doesn't it? But I'm going to tell you, Ethel sees good stuff. Good stuff, because he survived, and every day he continues to get a little bit better. And Ethel wants to say thank you for the prayers, because it is a miracle. And continue to pray for JJ and Ethel and the rest of the family. Also pray for Bob. Keep him in your prayers as well. But any other joys? You had your good CAT scan. Okay, good. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Enjoy that. Thanksgiving coming up, the harvest, the bounty that we have. We are indeed a blessed people. Anybody else have a joy they want to share?
Indoor plumbing.
I had two that, yes, indoor plumbing. Yes, there you are. Anybody else?
Family and friends.
And Neil said this morning, apple dumplings.
I had a pretty full Sunday school class today. We had a lot of fun.
Okay, pretty full Sunday school class today. They had a lot of fun. That's great. What is that? Same with you, too. Okay, and we have people joining the church left and right. Exciting times. A lot of things to be thankful for. So for all of our blessings, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, our concerns now. Want to pray for our country and our country's leaders.
For our local and global church leaders.
Pray for our local and global church leaders. Yeah, Connie brought up about our financial obligations, and I'll take this time to say that, to pray for the church. Next week is Consecration Sunday, and we had our charge conference a couple of weeks ago, and we were surprised that some changes were made that were not a traditional, but they were done within the legal bounds of charge conference. According to the Book of Discipline, it was all in order. Just was a surprise. And then at Ad Council this past Tuesday, we discussed the charge conference meeting and how it was done. We were informed that it is indeed binding, that the raises that were proposed and passed, they are legal, according to the Book of Discipline, the way we run things in a church. But then our district superintendent surprised all of us And our district superintendent said that if we do not have, by the end of November, a plan on her desk on how we are going to pay the rest of our apportionment for this year, plus a plan to pay it for next year, she will not allow there to be any raises at all. She will not allow there to be any increases in our budget. She will take control of our monies. So, as far as I can tell, I took the book of discipline home. As far as I can tell, she has the right to do that. Our church's first obligation is to pay our apportionment in full. We've paid about 46% of our apportionment so far. It means we owe a little over $20,000 on what's left for this year. And then we have to have a plan to pay it again next year. Our apportionment is, it's like living in a plan of homes where you have an association and the association charges you fees for living there. And those fees are used to maintain the neighborhood and to provide for the swimming pool and the whatever else. Our apportionment, that money goes to support the salaries for our district superintendent and bishop and that and conference staff. And it also goes to pay for programs for local churches and to support various charities all over the world. So the United Methodist Church has said that this apportionment, if we all pay this together, all these United Methodist churches all over the world, we can make a difference. So that's our obligation. According to the Book of Discipline, we are to pay that in full. We have not paid that in full for over 5 years. And she lowered the boom. And she said that either we pay it in full or she will freeze our budget. And she said, and if it continues, then she says, there may be a pastoral change because obviously you cannot support a full-time pastor. And I am here to tell you, I'm 62 and I'd like to retire from here. Moving is right up there with losing a spouse, the death of a spouse. It is one of the most stressful things you can do. And I'll say amen to that. I don't want to go through that again. But it is what it is. And she has that authority, though we're not happy about it. So either we figure out something to do or what will happen, you know. So we need to pray about it and just give it our very best. We do, as United Methodists, we are connected and we do have an obligation to pay that apportionment, and we're working at bringing it down and getting it lower. For this coming year, it's $37,000 or $38,000. I can't remember exactly which one it was. So, like I said, we've paid over half of it. I mean, almost half of it this year. We need to come up with the rest. So that's part of our concerns, and that's pretty heavy stuff, I know. But trust in God. What really upset me was that they reduced it to money, numbers and figures. Church is about serving the Lord. Church is about making relationships so that Jesus Christ can be high and lifted up, so that other people can come to know Jesus. Church is about saving souls. That's what our work is. That's what we should concern ourselves with. So put that down as your concern, if you would. Our church. We also want to pray for David, Virginia, Doris, Lois. Saw Lois yesterday. She's doing terrific. Pray for the Jarvis family. Pastor Jimmy Jarvis, I just did his wife's funeral Thursday. Pastor Jimmy Jarvis is the pastor of Rogersville Christian Church. And he asked me to do his wife's funeral. And then Wanda Horvath died. And I did Wanda's funeral yesterday. So pray for the Jarvis and Horvath families. Pray for Matt and family. Art and Diane. We want to pray for Valerie battling bone cancer. this opioid epidemic. We've got a part in that because we have the ear of Almighty God. We need to rebuke it and come against it in the name of Jesus. So pray for addicts and their families and friends. Other concerns? Okay, and the names of the first two were? Okay, Linda, Scott, and Diane. Other, and who else do we want to lift up in prayer? Okay, Charlie. Pray for Charlie. Eleanor. Let's pray for Eleanor. Jennifer? Unspoken? For all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our blessings. We indeed are a blessed people. We have an abundance, God, especially when we look all over the world. We are really, really blessed. Thank you for that. And God, we believe, help our unbelief. We believe that you're greater than any problem that we have, any problem. You're greater, Lord, than any problem anybody else has. And so we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of these names here today, Linda and Scott and Diane, Charlie, Eleanor, church leaders all over the world, Jennifer, Jacob, Matt and family, Art and Diane, Jim, the Jarvis and Horvath families, JJ and Bob, David and Virginia and Doris and Lois, Valerie, first responders, addicts. We come against this opioid epidemic in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you our country and our country's leaders. We lift up to you our church, that we would be all that you want us to be, God. Bless us and meet our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, we pray for world peace, for the world is in a mess. So come, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go, and touch us with a healing touch. For the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. It is written. Thank you, God. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's holy name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. If your husband or wife asks you to do something and they tell you that it's very important, and you can tell it means a lot to them, what do? You do it. Absolutely. You do it. If your boss tells you to do something, and if you don't do it, you're going to get fired, what do? You do it. Sure. If the doctor says you need to do something, or else you may die, what do? Get a second opinion. And that doctor tells you the same thing, you do it. You do it. Now, you do it because it's the most important thing in your life at that time. And guys, can we talk here? I mean, have you ever gone to the store and the wife calls you up and says, listen, I need you to pick me up something? And they really need it. It's really important. And you get into the store and you get talking to a buddy. And then you go home and they go, well, did you get it? And you go, get what? You know, and then, oh, no. You know, what happens then? We're in hot water, right? Been there, done that. I'll tell you. I asked you to do one simple thing. I really needed that, and you forgot? Okay. No, that didn't just happen recently, but it's happened enough to me that, yeah, I remembered it. Matthew 22, verse 36. The Pharisees send an expert in the law. You see, the law of Moses, the Jews had divided it up into over 600 laws. You're not supposed to do this on the Sabbath. You have to do this before the Sabbath. You can only eat this kind of food. You've got to eat it this way, and you have to eat it at this time, and you've got to light these kind of candles, and you got to wear this stuff. You got to dress a certain way. I mean, they had over 600 laws, and they were constantly debating among themselves about which law was the greatest. And here, the Pharisees, they just saw Jesus make the Sadducees look bad. The Sadducees tried to trap Jesus with a tricky question, and Jesus turned the tables on them. And so the Pharisees go, aha, here's our opportunity to look good in the eyes of the people. Now we can get one up on the Sadducees. We can score some points. And so they send an expert, a lawyer, to try and trap Jesus. The lawyer says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment? The greatest means there is none greater than this. And Jesus, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the greatest commandment. He said, and the second one is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. It's all based on these two commands. This is the main point of the whole Bible. Love the Lord your God. Love others as you love yourself. It's all about relationship. That's the point of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about relationship. In Genesis, God comes down and walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden in the eve of the day. He wants to walk with, it's in the cool of the day in the garden. He walks in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. It's about relationship. God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. He wants to walk with us. He wants to hang out with us. He wants us to cry on his shoulder. He wants us to dance in his living room in front of his easy chair and have fun and play with each other and sing praises and celebrate. He wants to do it with us. When we hurt, he hurts. When we're happy, he's happy. Because it's all about relationship, and he wants that with us. And the reason that these two commandments hang on the law and the prophets, well, the prophets were the ones that God sent to the people. And when they did bad, God punished the people. He punished the Israelites. Why? To bring them back into a right relationship with him. Because God knew that if they weren't in a right relationship with him, they were going to die. And so it is God's desire that all of us be in a right relationship with him. And he'll do whatever it takes to get us there. And that's why he said, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are about a relationship with God. The next six commandments are about relationships with others. I'm telling you, read your Bible and think about relationships. It is all about relationships, how we are to treat one another, how we are to treat God, how we are to treat ourselves, how we're to treat creation. It's all about living in the right relationship. And that's what church is all about. That's what tithing is all about. Tithing is about relationship, our relationship to God. Bible study, outreach, ministry, our giveaways, our dinners, the baskets that we do, food bank and all that. It's about relationships. It's about putting God first. And we must do our very best or we have ignored the greatest commandment. Sure, we want to please our spouses. Sure, we want to please our bosses. But we even want to please the doctors. But there is nobody more important, more wonderful, more powerful, more awesome than God. We should want to please God above all else. And greatest commandment means that there is no command, there is nothing in our lives that is more important than loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? We say yes. But I got to tell you, all we have to do is look at our relationships to see if we really love Jesus. If we say that we love God, but we hate our fellow human being, any of them, then we're a liar. Because how can we love God whom we haven't seen if we can't love our fellow human being whom we have seen? And that's either 1 John or 1 Peter. It's easy to say that we're Christians. But what's our relationship like with God? What's our relationship like with each other? You know, there was a professor, and I used this illustration a while back, but there was a professor at a college who one day when his students came in, he said, today we're going to do something different. Today, I want you to draw a picture of the person in your life that you like the least. So you know that person that really bugs you, drives you crazy, the person you like the least. I want you to draw their picture. And he handed out construction paper and markers, and people, and the students, they really got into it. You know, they draw in pictures. Some of them were real fancy. Some were pretty simple. And he said, now I've got this board up front of the class. And he says, and it's covered with paper. He says, I want you to bring your picture up, put it on this board, tape it up there, and I'm going to give you a dart, and then you throw a dart at that picture. Oh, yeah, this is fun. These college kids, they really got into that. And so they drew these elaborate pictures, and then one after the other went up front, and they taped the picture up, and they took the dart. Bang! Yes! And they got into that. So picture after picture went up there, and dart after dart was thrown at those pictures. After all the students had put their pictures up there, the teacher went up and took down all the pictures. And then he took the paper off the board. And underneath that paper was a picture of Jesus. And it was full of holes. And the teacher said, you love Jesus as much as you love the least favorite person in your life. That's how much we love Jesus. If we hate somebody in our life, then we're not in a right relationship with God. We're not loving Jesus. Only by loving others are we loving Jesus. It is about living in a right relationship with God, with the things that we have, the things that we do. We have to ask ourselves, is God in control of all that we have and all that we are? What is more important than God? Nothing. Nothing is more important. God wants to have a relationship with you. His whole goal from the beginning of the human existence, even before sin came into the world, has been to have a relationship with us. It's always been God's goal. Even before we were born, God desired a relationship with us. Psalm 139, read Psalm 139, it's long. But you read 139, and it talks all about how God knew us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs. 139:16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Everything God did through the prophets was about bringing the Israelites back to a relationship with God. Each time God punished them was because they had lost their relationship with him. A loving relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is our only chance at having eternal life, because it shows our faith in Jesus, our belief in Jesus. God is the only one who can give us this love. God's the only one that can give us that kind of love. So ask God. Ask God to pour out in your heart the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. And then love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love one another as you love yourself. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing number 557. Blessed be the tie that binds. Consecration Sunday, next Sunday. After, when you come up for communion, you'll be able to leave your gift, whatever that may be, your pledge card. If for some reason you've misplaced your pledge card or don't have it, just write it on an index card and bring it in. How you pledge to support the body of Christ here called First United Methodist Church in Irwin. God has a plan for us. Not only does he want us to live in right relationship with him, he wants us to live in right relationship with others so that they too will come to know Jesus Christ. So let's go forth from this place and love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And take time out to welcome our new members, our newest members here today over in the parlor. Well, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. Your will be done, your name be glorified. Fill us with your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.